From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world on our podcast, wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you by Darton Archery, 65 years as one of Michigan's top archery innovators. Great, great bows and great crossbows as well, man. The new Rebel, looking good. Looking forward to getting out and actually trying my hand with a crossbow. Although the girlfriend's got a Darton crossbow. She's been shooting it, does quite well, and I have no doubt that the new Rebel will be doing just the same thing. I've shot it a couple times. Really like it. HHA Sports, the leader in single pin archery sights. Also, our friends at Scentlock, and let's not forget, of course, Lucky Buck from Osseo, Michigan, a great mineral, and time to get your Lucky Buck is out now. Visit them online, lucky-buck.com, find out all the rules, so you know when and where to put out your Lucky Buck, and we'll be talking to those guys here. There are a lot of changes going on at Lucky Buck. Nothing in the formula, don't panic, but some cool things happening to our friend Dave Wheeler and the group down in Osseo. I'm going to start the show off with our good friend Nick Munt from Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, the nonstop Nick Munt. And if you've been looking at our website, wildmichiganradio.com, you could see the video of Nick and Michael and a couple of other musicians at the past ATA show down in Indianapolis covering Little Johnny Cash, and he joins me on the show right now. Welcome, Nick Munt. How are you?
Everything's great, man. It's good to be here, Grant.
Good to have you on. We were talking about you last week on the show, and I think that prompted the phone call to get you back on the show. Again, the nonstop life of being part of the Bone Collector crew and all the things you guys do, but we have spring. This weekend marks the first official weekend of spring. Turkey season is upon us, and I absolutely love, hands down, turkey is probably one of my top two things to hunt, and you guys are probably going to be doing a lot of that coming up here soon.
Oh, yeah. Just about ready to get started. In fact, the Georgia season opens this weekend. Alabama opened last weekend, and everybody's chomping at the bit. The flowers are starting to bloom, and it's time to get after them. The woods are going to be coming alive here pretty soon. There's going to be rednecks running all over the place, so we're ready.
This coming from the South Dakota guy.
Yeah. Well, there's rednecks in South Dakota, too, trust me.
Oh, believe me. I know. I've been. They're everywhere. Trust me, I'm probably one in Michigan. They just give me a radio show. But, you know, this is something that's been happening recently. YouTube, it's probably been going on a hell of a lot longer than I've ever realized. But the spot and stalk, and when I mean stalk, I mean getting feet away from turkey with a fan or a decoy. Have you done that yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we've been doing that for a long time. You know, we just never really did it a lot on camera, but lately we've started doing it a little bit more. I think people are a little more aware of what's going on, and kind of back in the older days, there was a lot of people that shot turkeys with rifles, so it was a little bit dangerous, and it still can be a little bit dangerous on public land, you know. So you want to make sure you're on private land when you do it. But it's a really fun way to hunt turkeys, and sometimes, you know, like especially in the South, you get these turkeys that hang out in these big open fields and they don't ever want to go to the woods and they don't come to a call. So the best thing to do is get behind one of those decoys and sneak out there. And when you close that distance and you kind of get within their comfort zone, they just attack. And it is fun. They'll come right to the decoy and you can shoot them at 5 feet. You know, it's really, really cool.
You know, I tried that last year, not hunting. My season was over, but I had a Jake decoy with a full strut. Mm-hmm. And I went out, and I spotted this turkey, and I started kind of moving towards it, and I'd kind of turn it around a little bit with that fan, just to make it look like it's doing that dance. And I tell you what, they did not like that decoy, and they got really up close and personal, and I actually had a deer get pretty doggone close, too, because I was wearing my scent lock, and I was belly crawling through a hay field, and I was shocked at the reaction I got from those birds.
Yeah, they really don't like it, and they're the brain's not big enough to say, hey, there's a guy behind that turkey. But, you know, it's just a deadly way of getting up on them, and especially some of those tough-to-get gobblers, you know. They're kind of call shy, and if they've had some pressure, you know, they don't want to come to a call. As soon as they see that, you know, I think more than anything, I think it's the head on that turkey. As soon as they see the head on that decoy, they just, I don't know, they just let their guard down and they come running in there. And man, it's a fun way to do it. In fact, I've had them so close that I've missed them three shots, you know, at just a couple of yards, because your pattern's so tight at that range, they're sometimes tough to hit.
That's funny. Speaking with Nick Munt, he is, of course, on Michael Waddell's Bone Collector. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick's Big Game. Am I correct about that still?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And on Facebook and Instagram as well.
You are such a social media giant. You are just moving.
Yeah, just huge, huge.
That's why I love talking with you, man. We always have a good time. Let's talk a little bit about Eastern turkeys and Merriam's. Merriam's is probably on my bucket list for turkeys. We've only got the Easterns here. That's all I've taken. But the Merriam's a different bird altogether.
Yeah, it really is. You know, the Merriam is just, to me, this is the prettiest turkey. They've got a really loud gobble. And they gobble well and come to a call well. And there's kind of a little bit of a misconception. You know, people think they're stupid birds and they're easy to hunt. But, you know, if you can hunt them in areas where they don't get a lot of pressure, they're definitely easier to hunt than Easterns. But if you get into a situation where you're hunting a public land bird where they've had some pressure, they're just as smart as any turkey. And, you know, there's a lot of places out west that you can hunt them on public land. You know, obviously the opening weekend of any turkey season is going to be hunters in the field. But usually out west, once the opening weekend or two is gone, the woods are empty. And, you know, you can go out to the Black Hills of Wyoming or South Dakota. You can go to Colorado. A lot of public land there. A lot of public land in New Mexico that have Merriam's. And go for 4 or 5 days, drive the roads and call and get into a public area and have a really good shot at killing a turkey. I mean, there's just a lot of them out there in the West, and they're a really fun bird to hunt. They come a long ways to a call. If you hear one a mile off, you know, it's not unrealistic that he'll come all the way to your decoy. So it's a really fun thing to do and something new. And, you know, if you're from somewhere where there's just Eastern turkeys, it's a really cool, you know, it's a really cool species to get and try to finish out your grand slam. Now, South Dakota, where I'm from, we've got Easterns, Rios, and Merriam, so you can kill three species in one state in South Dakota.
Man, you know, ever since I started turkey hunting a few years ago, that's been, I think the Merriam's has been my big one, just because it's so beautiful. But the Rio's a pretty cool looking turkey as well.
Yeah, you know, they're similar to the Merriam's. They've got a little more of a cream colored tail, but they're kind of the same. You know, they're a turkey that doesn't typically get a ton of pressure. So they come real well to the calls, and they gobble really well. And it's just a really fun turkey to hunt. And they're in a lot of places. You know, obviously they're in Texas, Oklahoma, all the way up through Nebraska, central South Dakota. And then, you know, they're just a really plentiful bird. They reproduce really well, and they're just a really fun species to hunt. And they gobble their guts out. That's the coolest part about the Rios and the Merriam's, is that they just really gobble hard and work well to a call. Really good for video, too.
Yeah, and that's something I think we're going to start doing this year. I'm going to buy a DSLR camera and just try to see what we can put on. You know, I have no ambitions of doing a show because...
Well,
look,
you know, they always said you had a face for radio, so...
And again...
No, probably not a bad idea.
And again, I can count on you for the love. That's... It's you keep me level, Nick. And that's you know, you are the weight around my ankles so I don't get such a swelled head. And you
only
need friends like
only
that.
Only because we're friends.
That's exactly it, man. And you're gonna have the opportunity, I can't get past this, to see Nick Munt in person here in Michigan. We're gonna speak with Nick a little bit more, find out what he's been doing since the ATA show, see if he's doing any more singing, hunting as well, and find out where he's gonna be here in Michigan. So stick around. It's Wild Michigan, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Lucky-buck.com here on the Wild Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Larry Wyson, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you by Darton Archery, celebrating 65 years in the archery industry. Innovators and creators of some great, great bows, and very happy to have that Michigan company on board here with us. Speaking with Nick Munt, you can find him on Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, one of the Scentlock Pro Staff members, just signed here recently with Scentlock. Very happy to have him on, another great Michigan company. But you guys, Nick, you yourself are going to be in Troy, Michigan on Saturday, March 28th, next weekend, Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. You're going to be out there, and you're going to be opening up the new Field & Stream store and promoting the Scentlock product.
Yeah, it's going to be a big event. You know, these Field & Stream stores are coming on strong. They've got a really good lineup of products, some top-end stuff, and they're just a really, really strong partner of ours, and they support Bone Collector and Hardcore. You know, we own Hardcore Decoys as
sure.
well. And so they're a really, really strong partner of ours that's coming on.
And, you know, people don't realize how much you travel in the off season when you guys aren't hunting. It's not a lot of downtime at all. You know, we've discussed this a lot here on the show. We saw you at ATA for a few minutes and a couple spots. That show, Indianapolis, to me is my favorite location. You know, we've been to Columbus and Louisville and places like that, but it seems Indianapolis is just the point for everybody to really get together and have fun.
Yeah, it is a good location. You know, everybody can stay at the hotels that are real close, walk across to the center, and the hunting community, the bow hunting community in particular, is a really tight-knit group. And when you go to that show, it's almost like, you know, seeing old family again, and everybody gets together and talks about their hunting season and talks about what's going on with all the new products, and all the shop owners are buying their stuff and making their orders. And it's just a really cool show, and right down there, you know, downtown Indianapolis is a cool place. There's a lot of neat restaurants and bars, and everybody just has a really good time. Nobody has to drive anywhere. You can walk back and forth to your hotel. So it's just a really, really great venue.
Yeah, it is, and one I look forward to. And then, of course, next year will be Louisville. Then it's in Indianapolis for a couple of years straight. So looking forward to that. What else is on the agenda? I mean, you guys are going to be start filming some turkey hunts here, but what else is planned throughout the course of the spring?
You know, I'm going to do a bunch of turkey hunting. Going to hunt Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, South Dakota, Wyoming, Nebraska, maybe Colorado. And then at the end of May, I'm going to Alaska on a bear hunt.
Ooh.
I got a buddy up there, and I'm going to go up there and hopefully shoot a couple of bears. And then I'm flying straight from there to New Brunswick, and I'm going to go bear hunting over there with my good buddy Kenneth Lancaster, who does some stuff with us at Bone Collector. And then we'll go into summer, and, you know, just appearances at different places. You know, you can check out all of our social medias and our websites and figure out where we're going to be. We're in a lot of places, so we're on the move, and we do a lot of traveling this time of year. And then we'll get right into the fall. But this spring, I'm really excited about it. We're going to shoot a lot of turkeys and have a lot of fun, so it's coming quick.
Now, your buddy Travis, T-Bone Turner, Travis has been added to the bill in Troy as well. He is going to be Sunday the 29th from noon to 2 in Troy. So, again, it's a big weekend for both you guys.
Yeah, these are fun events, you know. Just to see these stores, the way they've got them set up, the products that they've got, and all the people that turn out. It's a good place to come. Bring your family. We can visit and get a picture or whatever you want to do. And there's going to be some great sales and a lot of really good opportunity to get some great products there at the new Field & Stream store.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to work with one of their related stores with Dick's Sporting Goods at the Bassmaster Classic in South Carolina. And at least when you come up here, you know, we can't blame me for the cold weather.
Yeah.
It'll already be here.
Yeah, it's not your fault this time.
No, they look at me a little cross-eyed. Last year was Alabama, it was cold. This year was South Carolina, it was cold. Next year, I'm hoping to be, it'll be March, and it'll be Oklahoma. So maybe it'll be a little warmer this time, but maybe they'll just quit inviting me all together.
Hey, well, you got to do what you got to do. You know?
Exactly. Speaking with Nick Munt from Michael Wandell's Bone Collector. Nick, a longtime friend of ours here on the show. As we've been chasing you around, I think 8 years now, we've been doing the show for almost nine. And our first ATA was 8 years ago, and we've struck up this relationship with all you guys. And tell me a little bit how that little impromptu deal with you doing the Johnny Cash and Michael playing guitar, and you had some guys from Kenny Chesney's band and from the Dierks Bentley band also.
Yeah, yeah, we like to do that a lot. You know, Michael plays guitar pretty well. I play a little bit, but I like to sing. And a lot of times when we go to these places, they stick a guitar in our face and want us to do a few songs. So the old Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues is one of my standbys. You know, I always got to go with that one. But we like to play. We get together on the weekend sometimes and play. And Michael's son Mason really has come along as a musician. He's become a really good guitar player and a singer. And the kid's been singing on stage with us, you know, at our Bone Collector Bash and stuff for the last 6-7 years. So he's really has no stage fright or anything like that, and he's a really talented kid. And I don't know, maybe he'll do something with music someday, but I guess he's kind of following in the footsteps of his dad, who's always been a big music fan. And Michael's a real good guitar player himself, so we have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching Mason on a video, and I was like, wow, that kid's pretty doggone good. And, you know, with that kind of talent and a little bit of exposure already in the industry makes things a little bit easier, but you know, you got to follow your passion, and it's tough not to when you have that kind of ability.
Yeah, he's really good. You know, Michael got married about a month ago, and Mason sang 3 or 4 songs at the wedding, and it was a small, real small wedding, but we had a really good time. And his boy Mason's just never afraid to grab the guitar and start playing. So it's really cool. He's a really, really great kid, fun to be around, super polite, and as all Michael's kids are, but Mason's kind of the oldest, and he likes to hang with us a little bit, and he's turning into a real good hunter, too. So it's kind of fun. I don't have any kids of my own, so it's fun to hang out with Michael's family and see all those kids grow up, you know?
Absolutely. Nick Munt is joining us here, Michael Wandell's Bone Collector, being brought to you in part by Darton Archery here on the show. Nick, talk a little bit about Alaska real quick. How did that all work out, and is it brown bear you're going to be going after?
No, it's black bears. It's okay. Black bears. I'll be way up in the interior, and I think the area that I'm going to, you can shoot 3 bears.
Wow.
And so a buddy of mine is a dentist up there, and he's just got this area kind of panned out, and we'll go up there, we'll put up a bunch of baits and just hunt for about a week and see what we can do. You know, it's a really remote area, so, you know, it takes a little work getting back in there and getting the baits and stuff set up, but it'll be a lot of fun. There's a lot of bears up there, so it'll be a blast.
Yeah, at least with black bear, you have more of a chance.
yeah. You know, they come out of the den, they're real hungry and pretty mischievous, and if they smell something that they like, they're definitely going to be there. So we'll, you know, I don't know if we'll be getting into any real big bears, but
sure.
I'm going for numbers. I'm hoping to bring home 3.
That'd be awesome. You know, and again, the safety aspect with black bear, too, as far as I'm concerned, I would much rather take my chance with a black bear than a brown or a grizzly.
Yeah, they're definitely not quite as dangerous as the brown bears, but there's still a little bit of danger involved. I think I'm going to do some hunting on the ground with my bow, and so, you know, they're really curious, and when they
sure.
come out, they see you sitting there, they're not afraid to just come walking right up to you, so you've got to be a little bit careful, and sometimes they can sneak in behind you, because when they walk through the woods, they're just almost totally silent, you know?
All right. Check him out at Nick's Big Game on Twitter. Follow him on Facebook and Instagram. Appreciate you joining us, brother. Be safe.
Thank you, Duran. I sure appreciate it, man.
All right. Nick Munt, Michael Wandell's Bone Collector on Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Thanks to Nick Munt for joining us from Michael Wandell's Bone Collector. He'll be in Michigan at the Troy Field and Stream Store on the 28th, and T-Bone will be following his footsteps on the 29th, on the Sunday. Next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, those guys will be there. Also, Troy, some other of our other friends, Troy and Jacob Landry from Swamp People will be there as well. But right now, we're going to go across the pond. A couple of years ago, we had the opportunity to talk with this gentleman, and we've been keeping in contact with him over in County Clare, Ireland, Loch Derg. The opportunity to talk about trout fishing and pike fishing with fly gear. Okay, trout fishing, we get that. Pike fishing is something really cool, and we're going to talk with Owen O'Hagan from clarevirtually.ie. You've heard him, you've heard his voice, rather, introducing some of the segments. Very good to have him back here from County Clare, Ireland. Owen O'Hagan, how are you, Owen?
Good afternoon, Durant.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm very good.
Very good to have you back on. And springtime in Ireland, and you know what? That is a dream for a lot of us. Not only just to visit, but the opportunity to fish. And over the couple of years that we've been talking with you and getting to know you via telephone and text and emails and the videos for clarevirtually.ie, I don't think, and this is funny because a lot of Americans I talk to over here, people in Michigan, we don't think about Ireland as being a destination for fishing, but it is something very real. And you guys have an event coming up over in Ireland, the Tommy Giblin Memorial Fishing Tournament over there.
We do, yeah. It's coming up in a couple of weeks in the end of April, start of May.
Now, what goes on? Is this a fly-only fishing tournament?
Yeah, it's we have, you can go out with any fly. You can go wet or dry or spent. If the mayfly are about, you can use your, you can dap with live flies, which is really exciting if the fish takes it. Or you can have spent in the evenings as well. So it's an all-day competition, and we can use any method and to catch a trout. And there's some big ones out there waiting to be caught.
They're
feeding well over the winter on the insects and all. They're ready for us.
They're ready for that real fly, for that mayfly hatch to be coming out, which is happening over there in the next couple of weeks. Tell me a little bit about the live fly. That's interesting because I know we use a lot of artificials over here. Dapping with the live fly, how does that all work? How is that set up?
Well, you use a big long rod, a 10-foot rod, but you have some silk hanging out of it, and at the end you have a hook and you tie either one or two live flies through their body onto the hook, so they're flapping their wings and they're flowing in the wind. And if a trout sees that, he attacks them with vigor, and you will know you have a trout when he comes up for one of those.
That's interesting. Silk is what you're using.
Yeah, it's like a silk, a very narrow silk ribbon, and it just floats in the wind.
Wow, and you guys are tying live flies on there. So essentially when they're hitting the water, they're using the same, it's just the live fly technique of them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And the fish attack them because they love them.
That is incredible. And that, of course, is coming up here in a couple of weeks, that tournament. Yeah. Are you guys float fishing? Are you wading? Are you boat fishing? Or is it all of the above?
Usually 19-foot timber lake boats we have here, and we would drift. So you let the wind drift you along sideways onto the water, and if there's a bit of wind, you get a nice wave, and that's when you usually get the best fishing, because the fish are in the wave feeding on the fly as they land. And they set up these little lanes. The wind blows them into lanes on the lake, and they travel along these lanes feeding. And if you have your fly there when they come along, it's great sport.
Wow. Speaking with Owen O'Hagan from clarevirtually.ie over in County Clare, Ireland, Loch Derg is the body of water. How big is that body of water, Owen? Because from the video I've seen, it looks quite large.
It's 33 kilometers long by 12 kilometers wide, and it's kind of L-shaped. And it's the Shannon, it's the mighty River Shannon, so it's a lock, and that's where the river comes in one end and out the far end at Killaloe and heads on to Limerick down and out to sea.
That's so you do have the River Shannon on both sides, and that's just basically a body of water between the two, the entrance and the exit.
Yeah, yeah, that's why it's called a lock, not a lake.
Aha. See, it's all the things that you learn here on the show. And
geography as well.
Well, exactly. And this has been a learning experience for me personally because, one, you know, look, as Americans, we don't think past the obvious for Ireland. Fishing has not been a destination. Again, this is something that we've talked about for the past few years, something that I hope someday we'll be able to do. But You know, but bringing you to the show kind of opens up our ears and our eyes a little bit and our minds about fishing other places. If we wanted to travel, we'd definitely want to, if we wanted to bring our own gear, we're definitely looking at taking a multiple piece fly rod then, because the big 8-10 footer is not really going to work so well on a plane.
No. You know yourself, you can get your 5-piece travel rod, which you can use as hand baggage to fit into your hand baggage, you know, it's usually small enough. Bring a reel. But if you wanted to, like, you could come and rent equipment here. You can come just with your hands and your eyes and a pair of sunglasses, and away you go. You can rent boats, rent rods, rent nets, and all you do is try and catch the fish.
That's incredible. Now, what about licensing on Loch Derg or Fishing Ireland? I know we've talked about it in the past, but it was funny. You were listening to one of our podcasts that you can pick up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And the joke we had, he says, wow, there's a lot of rules for fishing in Michigan. A lot of rules for us. I said, well, it's because we're not Irish.
the Irish don't like rules. You don't need a license for fishing brown trout. Some club waters you might do where it's a small lake or something like that, but usually on the rivers and locks, it's free, and it's free to access, and all you need to bring is your rod. And as long as you obey the local rules, which might be about size and numbers of fish, and what we try and do is preach catch and release now, because it is a sport, and it is there. We want it there for future generations, and the only way we can do that is to release the fish back, unless you have a specimen size that you want to keep, you know.
Sure. No, that's pretty interesting. And photographs, you know, again, I love catch and keep, but I love catch and release just as much. And that's where the photographs come in handy, is people can make a duplicate of your fish. You got a taxidermist that can take those size specifications and make your own. And that really kind of gives it a lasting memory. And it puts the fish back into the system as well.
Yeah. And you've seen some of the fish I've sent you pictures of in the last couple of years. Like, there was one... I think it was 22 pounds caught last year.
Oh.
22 pounds brown trout. Totally in shallow water, which is unusual, and the guy was actually pike fishing, and he took the lure. It's one of these ferox trout we have that are, they live in the deeper water, but it was up in the shallow water for some reason.
So, you had 22, that is a big fish. He's pike fishing and ends up with this brown trout. That is huge.
Yeah, it was a French visitor, a tourist. And what he did, took a picture and put it back.
Incredible. Speaking with Owen O'Hagan, clairevirtually.ie, we posted a link on our Facebook page, because Owen does some videography and some film over there to help promote County Clare. And again, a beautiful destination for anglers and tourists alike. And I think to be able to visit someplace like that and to fish is an incredible opportunity.
It is, and what I do is try and promote it for visitors to Ireland. And I spoke with one of our tourism ministers there a couple of years ago in the government, and I asked them, did they promote angling in Ireland for Americans? And they said no. And I said, why? Because there's more people that fish in America than play golf. And I know we do target golfers.
Sure.
And a lot of golfers fish, but we don't target anglers specifically. And I think that maybe someday we'll be able to do that and bring someone over for the mayfly in Loch Derg, or maybe pike fishing all year round, because the waters don't freeze here and they're accessible all year round. So you can fish. If you're a fisherman or a fisherwoman, you can come here and fish all year round.
All right, we're speaking with...
Not that far away.
No.
Far away from...
6 hours from JFK. We're speaking with Owen O'Hagan. Going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk with Owen O'Hagan, who is joined by his daughter Grace in County Clare here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line. In a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Whoa. Welcome back to Wild Michigan, brought to you by HHA Sports, the number one name in single pin archery technology, the sight technology that we will be using this year. We're moving to the adjustable single pin sight, multiple yardage sighting, and adjust on the fly, which I'm really, really digging what they've done with their optimizer line, the Kingpin Light, and we're just, we've got some big announcements coming for April as well. We'll be talking with Chris Hamm next month from HHA as they break their new announcements here on Wild Michigan, and they've also got a podcast on their site, which you can get a link to from our site, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there, and we are speaking to a friend that we met a few years ago via another show and some other friends, and we've been working together, trying to put things together to maybe, you know, do an exchange, if you will. And we were having fun speaking with Owen O'Hagan, County Clare, Ireland, speaking about Loch Derg. Also, clarevirtually.ie, if you ever want to take a virtual tour, there's, you know, we've been putting links up on our Facebook page. And Owen and his daughter Grace join us from County Clare right now. We've been talking about trout fishing and pike fishing and the Tommy Giblin Memorial Fishing Tournament. And Owen, I tell you, fishing with silk, dapping live flies, is still got me intrigued.
Oh, what's your email address? outdoormailbag@gmail.com.
Yes, you can send anything you'd like to us here, outdoor mailbag.
Do you want to just check yours there now?
Check mine. Okay, and we're going to check our email.
Check it there now.
With Owen O'Hagan here, and Owen sent us an email. He's on the line with us right now from County Clare. Opening it up, and Owen, it looks like travel arrangements.
What do you see there?
Well, it says that I'm going to be flying out of Detroit to JFK to Shannon, along with Sarah Marie.
Yep, you're invited. The two of you come to County Clare in May and fish with the live fly, dapping for wild brown trout on Loch Derg, on us.
It's rare in my career or even in my life, Owen, that I am speechless, but at this point in time, I cannot believe what I'm seeing.
Yep. Two airline tickets, Delta, through from Detroit, JFK, into Shannon. You land here on a Friday morning, and your feet will hardly touch the ground for the weekend. You're going to be trout fishing, pike fishing, course fishing, trying, sampling our local brew that's black that you've been waiting to try. some game foods you'll have. You'll meet some cracking people. You'll learn how to dance, Irish dancing. You'll learn how to sing, and you probably won't get much sleep, but you're going to do that for a whole weekend over here on the Scariff Mount Shannon Whitegate Anglers, myself and Paul Giblin from fishermansparadise.com.
I am absolutely beside myself. This is truly a dream come true. Owen, I cannot begin to thank you or everybody over there enough for the opportunity. It looks like I got some planning to do.
You don't have to do much. All you have to do is bring a bag. We have the rest of the stuff here. And you'll be coming, arriving through the gateway to the west of Ireland, Shannon Airport. And flying on Delta Airlines to open up just that week, flying in from the JFK into Shannon. And Detroit into JFK is not a big hop either. So within, you leave, I think, at 7 o'clock from Detroit. You land in here at 11 o'clock the next morning. And you better get some sleep on the plane because you're not going to get much over the weekend.
I don't think I'll be able to sleep for like the next 50 days or however long it's going to be from now until that time. Speaking of Owen O'Hagan, shocked. I don't think I've ever been stunned this much on the show ever. Man.
Well, we've been talking about it, so now is the time to put it into action. I think that Wild Michigan will become Wild Clare for one weekend.
Well, you know, we have our own Clare here in Michigan, and it's not like your Clare, it's our Clare, but maybe we can somehow bring the two together.
Oh, that sounds like a very good thing. Maybe some sort of twinning arrangement or something like that, and reciprocal visits or something, maybe that could happen. But if we get this one out of the way and we get some colour, you're going to hear some sound. It's the sound of a trout taking a line off a reel on radio from Loch Derg in County Clare.
That is going to be incredible. Well, I know the first purchase I have to do now is I have to go out and buy a good camera because we're going to be sending back a lot of pictures. Owen O'Hagan and all of the fine folks in County Clare and Scariff and everybody over there, I am humbled beyond words. that you are giving this this opportunity, and I am I'm so looking forward to visiting Ireland and to fish. This is going to be incredible, and we will definitely be bringing back the sights and sounds, and encourage people to do the same thing.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. Like, if we get you over and you experience it, and you talk about it on the show, then I think the people want to come as well.
No,
won't be in a hotel. You're staying in our house. Myself and Ruth are going to put you up, and Grace is looking forward to hosting you as well. She's a great little girl, and she's looking forward to the fun of having some visitors from Michigan in our house.
Absolutely incredible. Shay O'Hagan is where we will be visiting. Wow. And you know what? And not that it matters. It could snow for all I care, because I usually bring that with me anyway. What is the weather like in the first, second weekend of May?
It's warming up. In the last couple of years, we've had it up to 20 degrees centigrade, which is, I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. Maybe up to 60, 70 degrees, is it?
That's excellent.
It could be warm enough, and if the fly are on, it's great sport. And you see in the evening time when the fly hit the water to lay their eggs and they die, you see the fish come up and just sucking them off the top of the water. Little pools just go, and you see the trout taking the fly. And that's where you want to put yours in, for him to take yours. And there's some monsters out there. So if you get onto one, you'll be towed around the lake.
Oh, looking forward to this. Absolutely an incredible opportunity. Working with you over the past few years, I mean, just talking about Conyclare, about talking about Ireland and getting to fish that. And what we will have to do as you know, you said reciprocate. We would love to do that. We'd love to get you out on a big lake and take you on a salmon charter or even in the rivers in the spring for steelhead. Again, another incredible way to experience Michigan, you know, and I think universally too, fishing transcends all boundaries. I mean, we all like to do it, whether for sustenance or for sport. It's very important that we still do it, and it's a way of communicating without speaking the same language. Fortunately, we do, though. We just talk.
Yeah, and the thing is, we do speak the same language. But the thing, I started off here 9 years ago and moved down to County Clare, and Paul Giblin, who's going to host as well, he introduced me to fly fishing, and his rationale behind that is he wants to teach kids how to fly fish. Unfortunately, you know, in these days and age, at this day and age, kids are more into their PlayStation and their other things instead of fishing. But like, we hope to educate children and teach them some field craft, how to fish, how to survive in the outdoors as well. And that's part of what he has as well. He's a complex called Derg Isle, where we launch from, and they do survival training there and team development. And that's a key thing we want to try and teach kids these days, and how to survive and how to live off the land that they had to, and that's part of what we do here as well, you know.
You know, it's not a lost art, man. We can teach people to survive, teach people to not only live off the land, but to respect and to keep the species alive, you know, much like catch and release, which is very important. I like anybody else, I love eating a good fish, be it bluegill, perch, pike, you know, salmon, whatever the case. I love fish, but to have that, we need to keep the resource alive and help protect what we have. And I know over on the River Shannon, you hydroelectric has really taken away a fishery that you had over there, and now the fight is to put it back.
Yeah, we had a huge salmon fishery here until I think it was 1926. Ardna Crush, a hydroelectric dam was built, and while there is still some salmon, they have a lift for salmon. It's not very successful in gathering all the salmon that want to go up, you know. And they might be preyed on below the hydroelectric dam as well. But also when the infant salmon are hatched, then they've only a certain amount of time to get to the sea. And unfortunately, a lot of them get chopped up in turbines because there's no way of corralling them and send them over the dam on another way. But what I have seen from America is that they want to. There's a lot of rehabilitation of salmon rivers in America as well, and they use this thing called a salmon cannon, which is very interesting.
Absolutely.
They would fire salmon up over the dam with a pneumatic, with air and water. It looks very interesting. And I think that might be a conversation we might have with some of the anglers here. How can we rehabilitate the salmon industry here? Absolutely. Maybe some of your listeners might have ideas for us as well.
Well, you know, they can send them just like you did. Outdoormailbag@gmail.com. I can't even talk. Owen O'Hagan, County Clare, clarevirtually.ie. Thank you so much for the invitation, and thank you so much for joining us here on Wild Michigan.
Looking forward to that.
All right. My gosh, we're going to Ireland. Taking the show international. Thanks to everybody. WildMichiganRadio.com. We are on the Michigan Talk Network.